Those are Rogan type levels.
All right, you know, you've got an obsession with Rogan.
Bro,
do you think Rogan is, maybe this is a dumb question. Do you think Rogan is like, will have, all right, right now he's the biggest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Juggernaut.
But do you think he is, when we look back in the history of podcasting, all right, other than the PCMC chapter, do you think Rogan will have a bigger place than Marin?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. Because he has done, with the exception of the President Obama interview.
That's a big one.
Massive. Joe Rogan continues to evolve where Marin has stayed the course.
Marin, I think the problem when you base your show on interviews is even if you're hot and you get everybody, eventually you'll get everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, once you have the President of the United States, that's it, right?
Where do you go?
In terms of comedy, the only people he's never gotten are like Steve Martin, David Letterman, and I don't think he's ever going to get them because I don't think they give a shit really at all. Letterman could care to leave his house.
Dom DeLuise.
Don't you know? We lost Dom DeLuise. He's no longer with us.
R.I.P. Dom DeLuise.
Well, Emilio throws out the Cannonball 3 script he's been working on.
I'm done now. That's it. Like, fuck am I going to do now? You know? Jesus Christ.
Look at these mics. These are beautiful mics.
Thank you. They're Rogan mics.
They smell nice.
They got new mic smell.
They got that new mic smell. Every morning I wake up and I try to get that new mic smell.
Right.
This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. What a sight for sore eyes. It's Mr. Emilio Sparks.
Hi, Mike Babe. How are you?
Fantastic. Your beard looks lavish.
It's nice, right? You want to touch it?
I do.
Come here.
Oh, it's nice. I've been using the oil that you recommended to me.
I love the fact that you're decided to grow a man beard.
Well, you put it to me where my problem was I always got to a certain point where it was too itchy. Yeah. And then you were like, you got to use the oil. And now what I've been doing, I got a little beard comb and I drizzle the oil on the comb.
Smart.
After a shower and then just, you know, I just like luxuriate and I watch some YouTube videos and I just play with my, just comb my beard. It's very relaxing.
I think that's the perfect thing to do because once you get out of the shower, your follicles are open in your face because of the steam in the shower.
Yes.
So now, like, your pores are open.
And I've just conditioned a little bit.
Let me tell you, a deep condition on the beard is very importante.
Yeah. Because it gets gross.
It does.
It can get dirty.
And it gets itchy, and then it starts to flake.
Yeah. You don't want that.
No, you don't. So sometimes I've, in the winter, Head and Shoulders on my face.
Really?
Yeah. And then I would condition as well. Like I would use like a Tresemme or a Wen product.
Yeah.
Or I would use a Wen product. And
how long have you had it now?
I have not officially cut my beard in a year.
What about your hair on your head?
June 21st, 2013 was the last time.
2013?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but you go to the barbershop to get your beard done, right?
I go and just to get the top, like, just to round out to show that I actually have exquisite cheekbones.
Sure. You don't want to lose the cheekbones.
No, you can't lose the
Absolutely.
Cheekbones. I mean, so the hair's pretty long.
Yeah. 2013. Holy moly.
I mean, it's way past my nipples. And I got a scrunchie now, too.
You do have a scrunchie now.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It's,
do you wear it on your hand when you're not when you don't need it?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I've totally embraced my Inna Momoa.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. But in 2013, was he around?
No. My false idol was Jared Leto at the time. So that's
did
why
he have long hair?
Yes, he did. This was just as Dallas Buyers Club was rapping and he won the Academy Award.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he transgendered in that movie?
Yes. He plays Rayan.
Yes. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It's a great movie.
Emilio, so nice to see you.
It's a pleasure, Michael.
I'm glad you let your hair down. He took his scrunchie out. Oh, he just waved it. It's beautiful. I want to get a little fan for you.
Just let it flow.
Just let it flow in the fucking breeze.
Listen, you got a good look going. I like the salt and pepper. It makes your professorial look even more distinguished.
There's a certain wisdom to the... And it's a nice, like...
It's perfect.
Stripes. You know what I mean? It's not like everywhere a little bit. It's like stripe.
It's perfect.
Almost evil looking.
So now next month, we'll go to my barber, and he will...
Shape it up?
Shape it up nice.
All right.
As he likes to say, gotta shape you up nice.
Is that how he talks?
No, but I'm just saying. That's how everybody in Staten Island barber culture wants to talk. Oh, you gotta go get your shape up nice. And I'm just sitting there like, okay.
You want to talk about some news?
How do they how do we, like, do they listen to this? How do they subscribe? Like, because I don't know anymore. I haven't, we haven't done this song and dance together in a little while.
Well, this is episode 81.
Whoa.
Wowie. But what, you've done like 70 of that, right? Probably?
Yeah. Yeah.
81. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank Congrats. You.
I remember when it was in its infancy and what we wanted to do.
I was just listening to the first episode yesterday. Because I've been going back, this is insane, but I've been going back through the archives and editing out copyrighted material. Because I've become terrified of somebody coming in for my baby. So,
okay, all right.
So, but I was listening to episode one, and I kind of went into it cringy, like, oh, this is going to be bad.
It wasn't.
And it's not, really.
No, it's good.
It's the formula is pretty there.
It was very early on, but look what we talked about the first one. Interview with a Vampire.
No, that was two.
Okay, that was episode two.
The first one was, what, Han Solo and fucking Josh Hartnett.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's topical shit.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not.
Yeah. You can always go back and listen. It's all fun stuff.
It's on the iTunes, the Stitcher, the Google Play, the Spotify.
Yes.
Go to Pop Culture, search it. Pop Culture Man Children. It's great.
Hashtag PCMC pod.
Really? Oh, we added the pod now.
You know why? Because I forget what it means, but it's like PC. When you Google PCMC, it's Paper Corporation. Something like, it's like there's some PCMC corporation out there.
Okay.
So PCMC pod is what you're going to want to hashtag.
Okay.
So when you do your writing and reacting, right, so to that's this what program. I'll do.
So when I share this on my social medias,
at social meds.
My social meds at Emilio Sparks, I will use hashtag PCMC pod.
Yes.
I feel good about this.
Absolutely.
I think this is great.
Absolutely.
I'm so proud of you.
You know what? Thank you so much. That means so much for a man with hair as long as yours.
Right?
Right? So, we're not into Trailer Corner yet, but one of the pieces of news is about a trailer, which is the Sonic trailer. When it came out, the internet was like, this is horrible for a lot of reasons.
It was the most internet the internet has ever been.
To me, it doesn't look my first reaction was, he looks like he's got a big head and a little. I said, why would you spend the money for CGI to make it look like a dude in a bad costume anyway?
Yeah.
He looks like he should be in Times Square charging you a dollar to take a selfie with him.
Maybe that's what the director wanted to see. He was like, okay, so let's do this.
So just hire a fucking guy and put him in a costume. Let's save a couple $1,000s.
Hey, listen, in 1980, they would have did that.
They definitely would have done that. Speaking of 1980, isn't this movie at least 20 years too late?
Absolutely. I don't even think it's a franchise that people even play anymore.
No. No.
Like, I can understand the relevancy of Super Mario, Mario Kart, Dr. Mario.
Well, Pokemon just came out. That's still...
Well, the game... Well, Pokemon Go pretty much reignited the Mon
craze. But there's
craze.
Always been the Pokeheads that have stuck with it.
Always, but...
There are no Sonic heads.
No, but Pokemon Go really kind of was the kick in the bottom that
Everybody
the franchise
played
needed.
Played that for a week.
Even
and
I
then
did.
Some people... I know people who still do it. My friend Jen, she's fucking rocking it. She's still doing it.
I've never had it on my phone, but I've had friends who have it on their phone, and they'll tell me, oh, I just caught a Squigglyworth or whatever.
Squigglyworth.
Yeah, right?
Squirtle.
Yeah, and a
Charmander.
Polydoodle.
Yeah.
You know?
Polydoodle.
Yeah, you know, a devil dog, you know, like.
And then you gotta evolve them. I don't know. You gotta
That's
feed
a lot
them.
Of work. I remember you were in it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I did it. Like most other people at that time, I was like, oh, I gotta get on board. And then I was like, oh, I'm
done.
Yeah. Because you know why? It hits a glass ceiling of if you don't fight each other and try to own territories, just the collecting gets boring.
See, I would be a collector. I wouldn't be much of a fighter.
Well, that's the thing. You get super bored of that. You're like, all right, I've got a bunch.
And then what would I do? I would
recently, Detective Pikachu came out. They for the movie, they dropped him in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But people bitched at that movie, too. The trailer. You're not going to say they didn't?
Yeah, no, they definitely did.
So, I mean, people get a bitch about everything. It's just...
So, if I'm getting you right, do you feel like the Sonic bitching is...
typical
too
internet?
Much?
Yes.
He doesn't... All right, here's the thing.
I mean, they went back. The director issued a tweet saying... All right, we're going to go back and fix certain things.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to talk about. What do you think of that? That's crazy, isn't it? And it might be a bad precedent because as much as like people are like fans should have a point of view, like for me it's like, yes, make a YouTube video, make a podcast, there's your point of view. I don't want big companies to be like, oh well, enough trolls said something online, so now we're gonna change it. Yeah,
but that's like the Russo brothers would never do that. It'd be like, fuck you, Death Thanos is the way he is, like,
well, they're at the top of the fucking
food chain.
Yeah, Sonic, they're like, anything you want, guys.
I think because they're nervous and they're desperate that they know, like, if this fails, yeah, we're gonna lose a lot of money. And the end game is always the bottom line.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I think they're most concerned about, is the bottom line.
Absolutely, of course. Especially for a franchise that like has some name recognition, but not even with kids, I don't think.
But you have to go into it thinking, okay, I can't give this creature...
He's a hedgehog. Which, by the way, if you ask me, imagine a hedgehog.
It's Sonic.
In real life, I couldn't imagine a real one. Just like Wolverine. Imagine a real life Wolverine right now.
He doesn't look like Logan.
No.
I'm gonna Google what a hedgehog actually looks like.
Is he blue?
Let's see.
He better be blue.
I don't think he's gonna be blue, pal. Let's see.
See, the biggest problem with the way he looks in the movie is his eyes are too small. The character in the video game and cartoons always has big eyes. And you know what else I feel bad about with this whole thing?
This doesn't look like Sonic at
Steve
all.
Steve Urkel, let me see.
This does not look like Sonic at all.
I mean, it's pretty cute.
It's adorable. I would cuddle with one. It's not blue. It doesn't have red shoes.
No.
It doesn't have, like, the elaborate triangle spikes.
No.
It doesn't have the big doe eyes.
No. I don't
like it. It looks more like the Sonic CGI in the movie looks a lot more like this hedgehog. So maybe they were actually trying to go for authenticity and not cartoony, like video game hedgehog.
I don't know about that.
Maybe they wanted to keep it.
I'm looking at this real hedgehog right now. That looks nothing like what's in that trailer.
The face does, not the body.
I don't know. He looks more like Rocket. He looks like a blue Rocket raccoon.
Well, they must have thought, okay, this is it.
Sure.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to make like 2 parts Rocket, and we'll add some people eyes because we want people to associate with the eyes.
The eyes are the biggest problem.
That's what people.
I bet that's
really
what they're
going to
change more than anything.
If
the eyes.
If that's all they change, cool.
Like, I mean, I wonder what the bill's going to be for this change, and if the studio really feels like cutting this check is going to make the difference.
Well, they got to change it out the whole film.
I mean, even if they did this, I don't know why you needed to tweet it. You know what I mean? I think it would have been smarter to just fucking... Because things change from trailer to movie. It would have been smart to just fucking do it hush-hush, and then when the movie comes out, it's a little better looking.
Yes.
That happens all the time.
I agree. Wholeheartedly. But, again, the College of Public Opinion has become so venomous that we, as consumers, feel we need... We have the right
to
bitch and moan on social media about something to the point where we feel we're gonna get it changed.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And that's not how it works.
Are all these people going to go see the movie now because they won whatever the fuck they won?
I guarantee you most of the people that were going to bitch weren't going to go see the movie anyway.
Probably not.
I wasn't going to go
and
see the movie.
And I feel bad for Urkel in all of this because he was the voice in the cartoon in the 90s, and he probably needs the work right now.
I think Jaleel White is set.
But what about Stefan? How's he doing?
I think Stefan
they are two different people.
But they were getting good checks.
They're two different people, because you remember, I believe in the last season, he used some sort of science experiment to separate them.
Yeah. But which is awesome, because...
That's just fucking weird.
If I were Jaleel White's manager, right?
Or sure.
An agent, I'd be like, all right, well, you have to pay us double now, because we're doing two different roles.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I bet that was about? It was probably like, he started doing Urkel when he was like 13, and now he's like 19. And he's like, I really just want the world to hear my real voice just for a second.
Yeah.
And they probably like, whatever
you want.
There
was nobody cooler than Stefan.
Whatever you want. He was pretty cool.
Smooth.
Although,
always wore gray clothes.
You know, the starting point of Urkel, it's not hard to look smoother. It's basically like the Nutty Professor thing.
That's what it was, really.
He's just Buddy Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, was Stefan smooth, though, bro. Like, you weren't getting Colin and Stefan, bro. No. The way he even walked out of the chamber the first time, yeah. I was like, yo, this is a cool dude, man. I'd never had that much swag walking out.
Remember when that show started? It was about, like, a real family.
It was a Perfect Stranger spinoff.
Yeah, it was the elevator operator.
Yeah.
And her family.
It was Mrs. Winslow.
Yeah, and they put her with the cop from Die Hard.
Die Hard, yeah.
I forget his Reginald Van Gleason?
Yeah.
I think that's his name.
No, that's...
Or is that Uncle Phil?
No, Reginald Van Gleason is a Jackie Gleason character.
Oh, is that the rich Jackie Gleason character?
Yeah. Family Matters, it was Reginald Van Johnson.
Van Johnson.
Yeah. Reginald Van Gleason. What the fuck's the matter with you, dude? Like, but no, that TV show was great when it first started. And then, like, every single TGIF show, it just jumps to shark.
Well, absolutely. But yeah, I was like five when I was watching it, so I loved every second of it.
I mean, it started in 1989 and ended in 1998.
Wow.
That was a good run.
That's a fucking... That's and a...
It was the spinoff to Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Harriet was in Perfect Strangers.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Hell yeah. That was a good run. But yeah, man, nobody was as cold as Stefan.
No.
And I was like,
do you feel like he inspired you in many ways?
Yeah, definitely. Like, when I first was trying to, like, find that inner elementary school cool.
Sure.
I was like, damn, I think I want to take some Stefan juice myself. And, you know, walk to the lunch table and be like, here, girl, here's a chocolate milk for me to you.
Did you try that?
People were like, no, I didn't know how to talk to women. I was a bumbling oaf.
Well... I've got some great news for you.
What?
We got more Star Wars movies coming. But they're taking a little break-ski, which I think is a smart move. Then after the one that comes out this year, there's not another one till 2022. So we're going to take a nice little breather.
And what is this one called? The Rise of the Skywalkers?
No, that's what the new one's called.
Oh, okay.
This one is...
The Fall of the Skywalkers.
No, this is not part of the Skywalker saga. Oh. This is a new trilogy by D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, the producers of Game of Thrones. And I really hope they... really up the incest in it, because that's a big part of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So I mean, always had Luke and Leia kissing in that awkward moment.
So is this called Game of Tatooine?
Yes. Yes, very good.
Yeah. Game of Tatooine, G-O-T. So they can use the same hashtag?
I know you're thrilled about this, Emilio, and you should be.
What is it going to be about?
I have no idea.
The Jar Jar Binks is going to be
dragons,
in it?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh my God, dragons in outer space.
They're coming out with a Star Wars book that's called like Star Wars Legends, and I think it's got like dragons and shit in it.
Are you going to read it?
They just announced a bunch of new books, and I can't wait to read them all. There's a bunch of books coming out that tie into the Disney World land, Galaxy's Edge.
Okay.
So I gotta read up on the whole history of that.
Do you think they'll shoehorn in Dothraki?
Yes, I do. Like, you know, I think Momoa would fit in perfectly in the Star Wars universe. He could be like a ranger, like a rogue. He could be like a roguish kind of like scumbag pirate.
Wait, they wouldn't have one big bad guy anymore? Depending on whatever happens in the Rise of the Skywalkers?
No, I don't think he's technically a bad... I don't think he would be a bad guy. I think he'd kind of Han Solo-ish, but a little bit darker.
Oh, so you mean kind of a heart of gold, but he's a tweener and you don't know where he actually lies?
Yeah.
But do you want to see him play the hero, or do you want to see him play something evil?
I don't want him to be evil, because that involves too much acting. And I don't think...
He was a good Aquaman.
He certainly was a good Aquaman.
Come on.
But what does that take?
Wet Thor. Wet Thor.
Did you see Endgame?
Yes, I did.
All right, we'll talk about it in segment two.
Okay, cool. So what is this going to be about? Like, they didn't say what this new Star Wars movie is going to be about?
When you're a Star Wars fan, they don't give you anything.
So you just angrily wait?
They just give you crumbs. They go, Star Wars is coming. And we go, yes, sir. Thank you.
What is that one going to be about?
What? The new one?
Yeah.
Well, all right. The one that's coming out this year is the end of the John Boyega trilogy. The one that is, you know, the one with... Adam
from Girls.
From Girls. Okay. I was trying to give his last name. But then the next one, I don't know what it's going to be. I really don't know.
So do you think Adam from Girls dies and Rey is like the big new, you know,
I don't know,
hero, and she's paraded around and she gets like a
I don't know,
ticker tape
with
parade?
With Star Wars, you never know. Like,
does he turn good?
I don't think he's gonna.
And they rule the beaches and the pools together.
No. Like an FM radio
station. Like an FM radio station.
We're the only Sith that reaches the beaches and rules the pools. I don't know. With Star Wars, you never know. Like, it could be 1,000 years in the past with Star Wars. It's a big timeline. It's like Lord of the Rings.
It's
you have
so
no idea.
Frustrating. Like, because
it's sort of impenetrable once you're not into it already.
Like, I don't. It's like, where do I start? Like, where do I start?
I think if you really wanted to get into it, I would start with the film Star Wars from 1977.
Okay.
And if that tickles your fancy, get more. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, it's not for you.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, they're not reeling me in so far. But we know what I watched.
Not everything's for everybody. You know, I
love Solo. A solo picture.
Did you like that?
I loved it.
I mean, that's a fun time.
That's a space pirate.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tried really hard to get into X-Files, and like really, like much harder than you should.
Yeah.
And eventually I was just like, I don't like this show.
I don't like it either.
And I'm sorry, I want to like it, but I can't. Because I don't.
Well, did you make the mistake that I made?
What?
Did you watch Californication first and fall in love with Hank Moody? And
yes, then, I definitely watched that first. Because I watched that when it was on.
Yeah, and then you expected David Duchovny's character of Skulder? Is that the name? Fox Skulder?
Mulder.
Whatever the fuck his name. It doesn't matter. But
Mulder is his name
in...
Fox Mulder is his name in X-Files.
Okay.
And then Hank
Moody.
Moody
is the other one. So did you expect like...
Something. I think he wasn't that good an actor early on in X-Files. Because he's just sort of monotone. He's not given much of anything.
He was so good as Hank Moody.
Well, of course.
And I'm like, see, this is what I wanted. Now, if he was doing that and having sex with all the aliens...
I bet in real life he's more like Hank Moody than he is...
Yeah.
Like Fox Mulder.
Like, hey, look at these aliens. Let's go have sex with them.
So guess what?
That's not copyright infringing at all.
No. Disney is taking full control over Hulu.
Huh?
When Disney bought 20th Century Fox,
yeah,
that means they owned Fox, and Fox was one of the owners of one of the part owners of Hulu with Disney. So Disney automatically owned a little bit of a bigger piece of the pie. And then they're like, you know what? We want it all because we're Disney. We want it fucking all. So they got it. They got it all.
So now does Hulu become the Disney streaming service?
No. But I think it'll be bundled with Disney Plus when it happens.
Oh, so we can get the stuff on Disney Plus on top of the stuff on Hulu.
Yeah, I think basically, I think not just them. I think all streaming is going to be packaged.
So now, how
when it takes over for cable, it's just going to be packaged.
Okay, so now how does that work? Because I wanted to watch Magic City on Hulu, right?
Okay.
Which was a Starz original series. Mm-hmm. But you have to buy Starz Extra on Hulu in order to watch Magic City. The same thing would go for certain Showtime properties as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how does that work? Disney doesn't own Showtime and Starz, do they? Is it like this weird cable subsidiary?
Yeah. No, I think in those situations, it's basically just like you need a cable. You need to already have access to that channel for them to give you streaming access to it.
Mm.
This is from CNN Business. Jill Dissis wrote this. I want you to take note of the ominous tone of this article.
Okay.
Disney's takeover of Hulu is just about complete. Comcast on Tuesday agreed to sell its ownership stake in the streaming video service to Disney. The sale won't happen for at least another 5 years. Interesting. But Disney will take full operational control right now.
Wow.
We won't sell it to you really for 5 years, but we're taking over. It's like the fucking evil empire.
It is.
It's just like... We are taking full operational control over Hulu. The deal is a sign of how much streaming video has changed over the last few years. Hulu was one time a joint venture between Disney, 20th Century Fox, and Comcast, and Time Warner. None of those companies had a major control. Now Hulu is effectively a Disney product. This just in... You know that those VHS videos your dad would take of your elementary school plays when you were a little kid?
Yes.
Disney owns those too now.
Okay, cool.
So sorry about that.
Okay.
They're going to turn your remember when you did Oklahoma in 5th grade? They're going to turn that into a Disney Plus series.
I did Annie Get Your Gun in the 6th grade.
Did you? Who'd you play? The gun?
I played the gun.
Nice, very good.
Every time she was like, there's no business like show business.
Is that from that show?
Yeah.
Is Annie... I always thought Annie Get Your Gun was like a Western.
It is.
But they sing no business like show business?
That's where the song came from.
What business
was there in the Old West?
She wasn't a cowgirl. She was in a show. She was in a rodeo show. That's what Annie Get Your Gun was about. Annie Oakley and her crack shot. Bang.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I played Mac, the ever lovable moron.
How old were you?
I had to be like, I don't know, sixth grade. So what is that? 10? 11?
Sixth grade? No, that's like 13, 12.
I didn't want to do it either.
Why did you do it?
I didn't sign up for it. I was just, they just threw me in a drama class. I needed an elective. So they were just like, well, we're going to put you in drama. I was like, I got the attention span of a fruit fly. You know.
But you ended up being Mac, the lovable rogue.
That's what I was. I had a beard back then.
Did you?
But it was light a fake dusting. One. It was a light dusting. I took my mom's eyeliner makeup and gave myself a little...
Nice. That's the weird thing about seeing high school and earlier shows is little kids pretending to be grown-ups.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest part of that.
Yeah, I was just like, all right, listen, I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. I'm just going to sit here and just get this good grade because I was not participating with this. I stomped my feet. I kicked. I was late.
Really?
And then the teacher pulled me aside and she goes, this is part of your final grade. You want to go to the seventh grade? You need to, like,
really. Oh, shit. She pulled the fucking left back card.
Yeah. So I was like, I had to learn my lines. And so I went to tutoring to learn my lines.
Is that what you got bit with the showbiz acting bug?
Yeah, it was like, hook it up to my vein.
I need the attention.
That's it. And I never did any type of play after that. Yeah. I didn't want to do any of that
always
stuff.
Called laughter from strangers mommy hugs.
It is mommy hugs.
It makes me feel so warm inside.
I was like a cuddle coyote just searching for love. Like, give me all your snuggies.
I actually watched a iPhone recording of that alien play, the high school alien play. All right, totally on the real. It was a high school play. It was a little boring, especially because that's such a nuanced story.
Yeah,
like to do like that on a stage with not good actors is like the thing that makes it really pop is the effects they did, the way they did the alien, the way the face hugger jumping up and jumping on the dude's face, the way they did the alien popping out of the, like, all the effects is what was cool.
So did the alien, when it was popping out of the stomach, go, there's no business like show business.
No. Oh, right. It went, everybody's doing the Michigan rag.
Do you sing with anybody else when you do the show? Because I've listened to the episodes without me.
Uh-huh.
And there's no singing.
I don't know. I guess not.
Do I bring it out in you?
I like, think you do.
We're all because we do chat.
Because there's no business like show business. I saw they did a special encore for Sigourney Weaver. She was there.
What?
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver showed up. I cried a little bit at the video because she like snuck up on them. Like, they were all backstage, and she was like, hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver, I'm here. And they start freaking
and
out.
They're like, we know who you are.
And the girl who plays her part hugs her. This other little person is like, you're my hero, blah, 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 can I hug you? And
I loved you in Working Girl.
It was very, very touching. I cried tears out of my eyes.
I love Sigourney Weaver in the 80s.
She's a fucking icon.
She should have won an Oscar.
Did she never?
No, she never won an Oscar.
She's really good as the villain in Working Girl. Like, that's a villainous role.
Of course, because Meg Ryan was so lovable.
Not Meg Ryan.
What was the other one? The other Meg.
No.
Was she Meg Ryan?
No, it's fucking, what's her name?
Oh,
she was married to Antonio Banderas.
Melanie Griffith. Why do I remember that?
That movie is like early Staten Island representation.
I know. Let me tell you something. I remember one part of that scene because Harrison Ford was in that. And it was like,
that's his hottest in that.
Right? He's sexy in that. Did you see when he was like buttoning his shirt up when they saw they knew some canoodling was going on in the office and he's on his phone and he gives like this look and he just shrugs his arms like, hey guys, it happens. Like, that would never go on in the workforce anymore.
Oh no, there's none of that. No. There's none of that shenanigans anymore.
No. But yeah, no, Sigourney Weaver did not win an Academy Award. She should have. She was nominated for one.
For what?
Oh God, what the hell was she nominated for? Let's look at her. She was Weaver has been nominated 3 times for an Academy Award, 1 BAFTA and 7 Golden Globes. She's won twice, and she earned a Tony Award and a Drama Desk nominations. Yeah, she's not pretty much to an EGOT, but she was nominated for shit. But
so she's got a Golden Globe.
She's got
a Tony. So she's got a GT.
Yeah, she's got a GT
or
a GT. But yeah, she was nominated for Gorillas in the Mist.
Okay. Okay.
Which she should have won.
Right.
Who won that year?
Fuck, I don't know. She should win for fucking Dana Barrett in Ghostbusters. Am I right, folks? Am I right?
No.
All right. Hey, they're finally making a movie out of my favorite YA novel, Eleanor and Park. It's finally happening, Emilio. God, are you excited?
I'm so tired of hearing
about
it.
Are you fucking thrilled? I am.
Can I
want to read the press release? Sure, I got it right here. Don't worry about it.
Well, no.
Don't fucking worry your head. I got it.
Forcing me to do shit I don't want to do.
It's finally being turned into a movie. Oh, this is from Hypeable. Marama White and Andrew Sims wrote this. Rainbow Rowell's Eleanor and Park is officially in the works. Rights to the book, which were once in the hands of DreamWorks before reverting back to Rowell, have now been acquired by PictureStart and Plan B. I don't know who they are, PictureStart and Plan B, but you know, that might be a good thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I want her to have more control. I have a feeling that with the DreamWorks version, she didn't have a lot of control. Rowell says, "This book is very close to my heart, and I've always felt very cautious about adapting it. But everyone at PictureSmart and Plan B has so much respect for the story and the characters. I really feel like I couldn't have found a better group of people to trust with Eleanor and Park." Janine asked me yesterday who would be my dream director of Eleanor and Park, and my only answer was me. I'm the only one who could properly direct this film. But if it weren't me, I said maybe Spike Jonze, because he's good at getting like the beautiful melancholy, the sad beauty.
So could you just refresh my cortex and tell me what the fuck this is about?
You want me to? I have three copies of it. One of them signed.
Can you give me one?
You want to buy you a copy? No, you should own your own. It's very special. It is takes place in the 80s. It's these two outcasts. A girl who's overweight and has red hair and lives in a sort of broken home, and a boy who is he does martial arts because his dad forces him to, and he doesn't really want to do it, and he always feels like an outcast. And wouldn't you know it, Emilio, they fall in love. And you know how they fall in love?
I don't know.
Because he's reading X-Men comics on the bus, and he notices that she's reading them over his shoulder. And that's how they fall in love.
Well, I want that to happen in my life.
It's beautiful. I tried to make that happen in my life, but they said, "Sir, get off of this bus. You're a grown man."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I just want to ride to school, everybody. Hey. Look at my gray beard.
I'm just chewing extra gum and singing for I. Can't help."
So you're super excited about that. I'm super excited about that. We're all super excited about
You know what? Give me the book. You have three copies. Give me one that's like torn and tattered that you've read.
Have I ever given you a copy of Rainbow Rowell's what's that short story she wrote? I ordered it from Canada, and instead of giving me one, they gave me one box. So I had like 80 of them.
No, you've never given me anything.
Really?
Like, no.
I've still got plenty. I'll give you one. It's about, see, this is why she's my favorite writer. It's a short story about two kids falling in love online, waiting to see The Force Awakens.
So basically, it's just everything you like.
It's just, yeah, she's deep in my soul.
Okay.
Speaking of everything I like, today it was announced, November 2019, Rick and Morty Season 4 is actually going to happen, folks. We got a date. It's going to happen.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, Rick. I don't want to introduce it, Rick.
The fourth and more than likely final season.
You think it's going to be? Even somebody wants to be on for nine seasons.
I'm shocked that this one's... I was shocked that three happened.
I think they're trolling us the entire time.
Why do you say that?
I think they know what they're doing. And they go, okay, let's keep tons of years between.
You so like the Sopranos thing?
It works this up to like a frazzle.
But it's gotten too frazzled. Now Rick and Morty fans are horrible, toxic people.
Yo, I mean, I think they were toxic from jump. But season three was really good.
Season three was good. I worry about its ability to maintain its high level, because it's working at a lot of high levels. It's a high level of animation, high level of sci-fi, and a high level of fucking comedy.
Yeah.
And that's like spinning three plates.
Yeah, but
and
I'm worried. But look at how many years are in between each show. If you have the writers, you give them 2 years to really cook something up. They're not just throwing this together. Like, they can really cook up a whole entire plot in 2 years.
But I don't think in those 2 years it's about putting our heads together and coming up with great stories. I think it's about Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon yelling at each other and being mad at each other.
Okay.
That's what I think it is. I think that they probably don't like each other anymore because nobody likes Dan Harmon. He's been fired from every gig he's ever had. He created Community. NBC fired him. A hit show, and they still were like, we can't work with you. He was the creator of the Sarah Silverman Project. After the pilot, Sarah Silverman fired him. He's an irascible alcoholic. So I got a feeling that him and Justin Roiland don't get along very well.
But this is the most successful creation ever, and I think...
Isn't there part of you that wants it to end, though?
No.
Really?
Because there's still
it somebody... It can only get bad, though.
There's still so many unanswered questions, though.
Well, I do
there
want
There's so
them,
many things open-ended. Where's Evil Morty?
I do want them to finish whatever long story they're telling, but I would love for it to be, like, a perfect, like... box set. That's not a thing anymore because people don't buy physical media, but I would love for it to be like almost like a British show. Like, here it is. There are fucking 5 seasons, 10 episodes each. It's the perfect thing. Everyone's a fucking home run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think the first 3 seasons have been smashes.
What do you think's better, season 2 or season 3?
Season 3.
Oh, easily.
See, I like the development of Jerry.
It gets darker season 3.
Oh my
3.
God, it's so
you're a loser. It gets so dark.
I mean, just that with Jerry alone. In the like, yeah. You know, when the dog, he tried to throw the dog the potato chips, but the dog wanted his unemployment check. And he says, this is not going to give you any sustenance. This is just you crushing my needs.
Oh my God, the way they shit on that character is so fucking satisfying.
It really is. So like,
and Summer's really changed a lot, right? Yeah. In season 3, when she goes to that Mad Max world, she changes. She becomes very hardcore.
But also that, if you look at that episode, that is where like it's the turning point for Summer and Morty as well, because they're finally addressing their parents' divorce and they're not just repressing it.
Right.
You know, I think in some ways Rick knew, okay, let me take these kids out of their world, put them in a different world that might be even more toxic. I want to see how they survive and get out all this repressed anger so that way when they go back to Earth, even keel.
Right.
Maybe we're just seeing too much into this.
No. I maybe I want to like Rick more than he's likable, but I often think, like, even though he says he doesn't give a shit, if you look at Rick's actions, he seems to actually give a shit.
Yes.
He clearly does care about Morty and what happens to Morty and Summer. Because whenever they're in danger, he worries about it.
I mean, that episode when the devil owned a pawn shop.
The devil... voiced by Alfred Molina.
Yeah. And he had to one up the devil.
He fucking used science to take the curses off. Oh my God, what a fucking great show.
It's a brilliant show. That show and the Goldbergs might... Rick and Morty and the Goldbergs...
They're very different.
They are, but they might be the two best written comedy shows on television right now.
Wow, that's a bold statement. See,
the Goldbergs is fucking funny.
Yes, it is. But to me, the Goldbergs is... It's like an old-fashioned sitcom. It gives... You know, every episode's exactly the same. It very rarely... It's like the kids... The mom does something that overreaches. The kids go, fuck you, mom. Mom gets sad. The kids,
I failed as a mother.
The kids realize, oh, we went too far. Everybody hugs.
Morty calls everybody single, a moron.
And it ends with... some 80s ballad.
It's great.
That's every episode. No, I love it. To me, it's like comfort food.
Because I started,
but I wouldn't put it on the Rick and Morty's like fucking Shakespeare compared to.
Yes, but if you look at arc, narrative, and heightening,
yeah,
Goldberg's is up there.
Well, how is it heightening?
Look at it this way: like the stuff that they the episode. See, I've been binge watching it.
Yeah.
So I'm only up to season 2. I'm finishing season 2.
Well, it gets better than that.
So. Barry Goldberg's Day Off.
Yeah.
Which is a spoof on Ferris Bueller's Day Off, is the greatest episode so far of that entire series. And it is fucking, it's just insane. Where it's like, he fails at being Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Barry's great.
And it's just, they use like these, because you think like, okay, the setup, setup, setup. Like it's heightening. Yeah, it's like set up, and then this huge payoff at the end, and you're thinking, this shouldn't work. But oh my God, is it so satisfying?
Right. Well, I think everyone, all the performers are good.
It's a really good top-rate cast.
It really is a top-rate cast. Yeah. Barry's really good. I think Erica's really good.
She's the mother.
She's amazing.
Bevy is just fantastic. She's amazing. Jeff Garland, how can you not love Jeff Garland?
He's America's dad.
Pops?
He's great too.
Pops, I love Pops when he was in Look Who's Talking.
Yes, playing a character that is a fucking subtweet of Harold Ramis.
Yes.
Because the director of Harold Ramis had an affair with the director of Look Who's Talking, Amy Heckerling, and she actually had a baby while he was married to somebody else.
Mm.
So the shitty fucking character that he plays in Look Who's Talking, that's a fuck you to Harold Ramis.
Yeah, it is. Do you think he redeemed himself in Knocked Up when he plays the dad and he's like, listen, I can't give you no advice. I wasn't really like, you
know, oh, that's an interesting,
the best father in the world.
That's an interesting point.
I did love you.
I think actually what did happen to him was around the time he made Groundhog's Day, he became like a Zen master. Like Groundhog's Day is very philosophical movie.
Yes, it is.
And I think he got into like Buddhism and shit.
It's great.
And was like, I'm sorry. I make mistakes. I bust ghosts.
I'm right there with him.
All right, let's go to Trailer Corner.
Let's do it.
We already talked a little bit about Sonic. How do you feel about the choice to use Gangster's Paradise? That's a weird choice, isn't it?
No. No. Iconic pop culture song that will live on forever.
It's a great song, but
it's funny. It works.
You think it works?
Look.
It's a little bit, like, jarring. It's a very serious song.
Let me tell you, the lyrics are very serious.
And what does it have to do with Sonic, though? It's not even a new song.
It does it to get your attention. What else could you use?
I don't know. A million other things.
Been stranded most our lives, living in the gangster's paradise. Come on.
Hearing the as he's like stretching his calves.
I mean, if you don't listen to that when you're stretching your calves before a leg day.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with you.
When I hear that song, one image pops into my mind. That's Michelle Pfeiffer sitting backwards on a chair.
With the lollipop in her mouth.
Yeah. Because you know she's a cool teacher because she sits backwards on a chair.
And she knew karate.
Absolutely.
She was a former Marine.
Dangerous Minds.
She got through to Emilio.
Did you really?
Yeah. When was the last time you watched Dangerous Minds?
I saw it in the theater. Wow. With my parents.
Wow.
Do you think people remember that song comes from that movie at all? I don't think no one ever mentions that movie. But that was a good movie.
I mean, now, did the movie propel the song or did the song propel the movie?
Probably both. Because if you look at the original video to the song, she's in it. It's one of those deals.
I think the movie helped propel the song and then the song took off.
The song definitely has had longevity.
The song was being played on Z100 back in the day.
But what about
Amish Paradise?
Rap songs, it's very rare that a rap song gets played on a pop music station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to really cross over.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
And I remember it was on KTU, it was on Z100, and it was all over Hot 97.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I was a hip-hop kid growing up, I had the cassette.
But,
I had
it, was every, it was everywhere. It was everywhere. It
won a Grammy Award.
Coolio won a Grammy Award. And we put it in the Sonic trailer.
Yeah. It's just, like you said, it's just a it piques your, what? Okay.
What do you think about Jim Carrey doing a part that he would have done 20 years ago, but like doing it now?
I don't understand.
It's a weird choice for him and for the studio to choose him.
I don't understand him. Because at one point he's like, life is bullshit.
Is he still an anti-vaxxer? Or when he divorced Jenny McCarthy, he divorced anti-vaxxing with her.
You know, he's really quiet on that stance. You know who's also quiet on the vax thing?
Who?
Donnie Wahlberg.
Really?
That's who they're married. That's who she's married to now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is that an upgrade from... Because we're not talking about Mark. We're talking about Donnie.
Actually,
from Jim Carrey?
I like Donnie a lot.
In terms of cashola in the bank, that's a very big downgrade.
New Kids on the Block made a lot of money, pal.
Compared to a 20-plus year fucking career of Jim Carrey, are you kidding me?
New Kids on the Block sold 100 million records.
Yeah. Once upon a time.
Yeah.
But Jim Carrey continues to make movies.
But he's also on Blue Bloods. He's probably getting a mil an episode.
No. Get the fuck out of here.
What? Danny Reagan is that show. Tom Selleck might be the heart.
Is that the name of his character?
Yeah.
Danny Reagan?
Danny Reagan.
It's so weird that you know that.
I watch it. It's actually, there's a you marathon. Think he makes a marathon on right now.
At the top, at the top of their game, the cast of Seinfeld was making $1 million an episode. You think Donnie Wahlberg, why would they even open that shop if they didn't need a little extra cash?
I think Blue Bloods is a huge deal for CBS.
I'm not saying he's a guy who's strapped. I'm saying compared to Jim Carrey, Jim Carrey has to have more money.
All right, I want
to
see this because even though I hate doing this.
What do you want to look up their fucking?
I'm going to look up their net worths because I don't know if it actually is what it really is, but let's see. And then if you need, you know, if you need some money, you just hit up your brother. You'd be like, yo. But he's also owns part of Wahlburgers.
Sure.
You know, let's see. I want to see what his net worth is.
Jim Carrey, he's even doing like the very Ace Ventura kind of like
comeback.
No, I'm saying even in the movie or in the trailer, he's acting like Ace Ventura. He's doing like his old shtick.
All right, so according to celebritynetworth.com.
Which has got to be.
It's got to be true. His net worth is about $20
million. All right, what's Jim Carrey?
Let's see.
By the way, I bet that sounds high, but go on.
You think it's high?
When they say net worth, that's everything. I'm not good with money. That means everything, right? Your house and everything?
Yeah. That just, yeah, everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jim Carrey's over $150 million.
All right. He only beats him by $130 million.
Yeah.
I rest my case. Yeah, okay. So why is he playing Dr. Robotnik? What the fuck?
A challenging role.
You think so?
He played the Riddler.
That was a mistake. Was that challenging, you think?
He played Scrooge.
It feels like this is the kind of movie he would have made at that era.
He played Count Olaf.
Yeah, that's true. I liked him as Count Olaf.
This is what he does.
Yeah, but lately he's like doing dramas and
he wants to be Life is Bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, to do this, it's like,
well, maybe
I'm not saying it's bad or beneath him. It just, I'm saying it's weird that he said yes.
I just think he wants to be like, you know what? The last couple of movies, all right, I was serious.
Maybe they signed the contract for him to play Robotnik in like 97. And they were like, oh, we're finally making it.
You want to do it still? And he's like, you know what? You caught me at a time when, yeah, I'm not doing anything.
All right, let's talk about the trailer for Blinded by the Light.
Blinded by the Light.
Why is a movie about Springsteen titled after a song that's not a Springsteen
song? Because Springsteen wrote the song.
Did he?
And yeah, it was actually on his first album.
All right, I'm going to let you take this because I'm not a Springsteen fan, really.
How are you not a Springsteen fan?
I'm not.
You grew up in New York.
I'm not a Springsteen fan. I'm not a. But I tell you what, seeing this trailer, which is about, it's the 1980s. It's the heart of conservative Margaret Thatcherism, and this boy who and his family that are of Pakistani descent.
Yeah.
They live in the UK. And he starts to listen to Bruce Springsteen, and it like makes him come alive. And the way that they depicted it in the trailer, like he's listening to it and you see the actual text of like the words spinning around his head, yeah, like in engulfing
like
him.
He had this eureka moment.
It made me like that. They like when he's listening to Dance in the Dark, I was like, oh, that's for the first time in my life, I'm intrigued by.
If you listen to Dancing in the Dark, right?
I think Courtney Cox, greatest work.
Brian De Palma directed that music video.
Wow.
If you listen to that record,
yeah,
I guarantee just listen to Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to it on the way over here.
I guarantee you will feel some type of way because the lyrics don't go with the pop melody. Want to change my clothes, my hair, my face.
Yeah.
I'm going nowhere.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself.
Yeah.
If you have never felt that.
Yeah.
Then,
and that's what this boy,
you're way too happy.
That's what this boy is dealing with.
Yeah.
He wants to be a writer, but his dad's like, no, you have to have a real job because his parents are very old fashioned.
You can't start this fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Babe, we're just dancing in the dark.
Deep. Do you think it looks good?
Absolutely. I'm going to go say it.
It looks good to me too, and I'm not a huge Springsteen fan.
I am. And it's funny, I got into Springsteen late, but yeah, no. Blinded by the Light was on Greetings from Asbury Park, which came out in 73. He wrote the song, and then Manfred Mann came out with it, and that's the song that propelled them. And that was like a top 10 hit.
He wrote it for them, or they covered it?
No, they covered it.
Oh, so it's one of those things where like the original isn't as popular as the cover?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. He also wrote that Patti Smyth song, Because the Night.
Yep.
Because the Night belongs to lovers. But they sing different lyrics. He has like masculine lyrics and hers have feminine lyrics.
Yeah,
little switchy.
But yeah, no, he wrote it and then Manfred Mann's Earth Band covered it and it became a number one hit.
Yeah, when I think of that song, I think of that.
Dude, Springsteen's worth a lot of fucking money.
What's his net worth? Since this is the show we're doing today, I guess.
That's what we're doing. You wanna know what Springsteen's net worth is?
Yeah.
Let's see. I actually was reading a book on him, and it's fucking fantastic. So how about this? Do you want to trade? I'll let you borrow the Springsteen book. You give me
Eleanor Park.
Eleanor Park.
Well, I don't have it on me, sir. Oh, right.
Well, he's worth about $460 million.
Wow.
He's a lot. He's got a lot of money.
That's more than double Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, blows Jim Carrey out of the water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's according to,
It's interesting. This is sort of like a jukebox musical, but was it ever a stage show? I don't think so.
Well, he has a one-man show based on this book, and you can watch it on Netflix.
Who, Bruce?
Yeah.
What's Born to Run about? His life?
Yeah. It starts out, it starts out in Jersey living with his grandparents.
Sure.
And, his father was, not that he was a fuck up, but it was a strained relationship. Pops liked to drink. He was kind of miserable. He was dead-end job.
Sure.
The mother was...
He couldn't even afford sleeves for his shirts.
No, he couldn't. His mom was pretty much the inspiration for him within music. And, his relationship with his father got better, years later.
Interesting.
But, and it also talks about his struggles and how he really stayed the course and believed in himself and believed in his abilities as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And, he started out, he was more folky. He was kind of like Bob Dylan.
That makes sense.
And then, his pivotal breakthrough was the album Born to Run.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his, third or fourth album.
Really?
Yeah. He was really nervous up until that point. And he was so meticulous with this album that the song Born to Run, he spent months mixing this down and changing little things because he wanted this record to sound how he envisioned it in his head sonically.
Where did he get the... nicknamed the boss?
He hated it, but now he's grown into it.
Who gave it to him? Where did he get? When did they start calling him the boss?
I think it came around. I think it came from
Max Weinberg.
No, I think it came from.
They can't sue me if I fuck up the words.
Okay, so. So, in the book says he got it in the 60s when he was playing in a band called Earth. And he was given the task to collect the money from the club owners
so the
to
boss.
Pay the band.
Okay.
And then he would have to distribute it. And then some of them were like, yo, I'm a complete fuck up and I will drink this away tonight. Could you hold on to it?
Okay.
So that's how he was called the boss. And he hated it for years.
Yeah.
And then it was just something that he just...
It's interesting that it came that young before he was really even really him.
Oh, in Earth, he was in his early 20s, too.
I would have guessed that, a reporter called him that after he was famous.
No, by the time he popped, he was in his early 30s, and he didn't
even...
So it
could still happen for you, pal.
I was reading his book, and I was like, yo,
inspired?
I'm the boss.
Were you born to run?
I'm definitely born to run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet your hair looks beautiful when you run.
It does.
Just, in the wind?
Yeah. It's like the slow motion in Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Swamp Thing. I have very little to say about this, but I kept...
It's a tease trailer.
Well, but I kept thinking,
You didn't see Swamp Thing.
Are these things... But what I was thinking was, is Emilio catching things? Are there things in this I'm supposed to be like, oh, that's that person, that's that
event?
Okay,
so let me ask you this question, right? When you saw the ominous figure in the doorway, did you think that was... Swamp Thing, or did you think that was Jason Woodrue?
I don't know who Jason Woodrue is.
Jason Woodrue is the Floronic Man, where he was this plant creature that pretty much wanted to take over the world, and he was mad with power. It's basically all the Alan Moore shit.
Sure. So this is the Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. I think so. Because if that's where they're going with first, if they're going with Jason Woodrow, which it looks like that's what they're doing, then yeah, it's definitely going to be.
What do you think of the tone? Because the tone of the trailer is like it's scary, like it's horror almost. It looks like they're trying to like, I don't know if that's what the show's going to be, but they're like almost selling it like it's a horror show.
I think they're leaning towards more of the macabre, I believe.
Yeah.
But again, we're not really seeing anything in the trailer.
We don't see him until the end.
You don't even really see him.
Yeah.
And you don't even know if that's him because like I said, Floronic Man looks like Swamp Thing.
Oh, so
it's in the comics. Like he is a guy made of plant-based matter.
So, okay, so he's, that might not be Swamp Thing.
It might not be. So you don't know.
How do you like the way the effects look?
Again, I think it was too dark, so I really didn't know. I love the roots.
Looks better than the fucking Wes Craven movies.
Slaps it. It looks better than fucking Swamp. It looks better than fucking Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
But I like the way the roots were popping up and taking shape. And
the roots from Jimmy Fallon?
Yes. Yes. Shout out to Questlove. We talk on Twitter. But again, it's...
You saw like the fucking roots and
shit. The roots, and then you saw like...
I didn't know what I was looking at.
This plant-based thing was popping up, and I'm like, this is
people
not...
People are running and
this
scared.
Is not Alec Holland. This is Woodrow.
Okay.
It stunk of Woodrow.
So were you excited by it? Or you? Is this like, this is how I imagine it?
When it... Well, I have to see the show. So I have to borrow your DC login.
Sure.
Because it drops the 31st. Now, does it drop in a binge or one episode each week?
One episode each week.
I'm going to have... I hope, for my sake, and for all Swamp Thing fans' sake, I hope we don't see him until the second or third episode.
Interesting. Maybe. I mean...
Give us some suspense leading up to this.
Let me tell you this. Titans was interesting, but kind of all over the place, kind of a mess. Doom Patrol is straight up brilliant. It might be one of the best TV shows on TV today. So... If they're on a streak with Doom Patrol and they're rolling into fucking that team or whatever, or that mindset is rolling into Swamp Thing, then you've got a chance of it being really good.
Well, you know, also you got to remember, too, Swamp Thing was based on American Goth, and that's what Alan Moore was really into at the time. You know, it was leaning less towards science.
Yeah.
You know, in the first... You know, in the first run of the comics when he took over,
right,
and he started to go into more American Goth and suspense and urban tales,
yeah,
and, you know, these wise tales and semi psychedelics, and to point, you know, pseudo geopolitical, you know, sprinkles in here and there, and so it,
Alan Moore shit,
it's a well written anthology. I read all six volumes. Okay. So if you want them, they're yours to borrow.
Okay.
So you can get better into the character. And it really does become this thing where he knows he's no longer a man, but it takes him a while to realize that he was never a man of flesh and bone.
Yeah.
But the subconscious of the man was what was in the plant matter mixed with that weird chemical. And it ate up his body, and that's what created this, like,
so he's skeleton. Really more an evolution of the plant than of the man.
But with the man subconscious.
Interesting.
Yeah. And he's part that's of, like, as the story also gets deeper into it, I don't know if they're going to do this, but he was part of the Guardians of the Green. He was like the earth. He is the earth. He is the protector of all things, soil and tree and air and water to a certain degree. So I don't know if they're going to get into that. I would like for them to do that.
Maybe if they do a season two.
We'll see what happens. They really didn't show anything with Abby Arcane.
Who's the woman then that we're seeing in that? That's not her?
Abby Arcane is supposed to have white hair with two black streaks in it. I do not know who that woman was.
She just had dark hair.
Yeah. You know? Now, do they make him an anti-hero who only protects the green? And anybody that fucks with the green?
I tell you what, in my 20s, I was protecting the green every day, my friend.
Oh!
Nugs and grindage.
Buddy!
All right, we have to take a break because we're just about out of batteries here.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
Wizard on the juice! She's trying to perfect for me vegan macaroni and cheese with coconut milk.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you see Endgame?
Yes, I did.
Well, this has been Pop Culture Man.
Hi, we're back. I'm Emilio Sparks. That's Mike Bongiorno.
P. PCMC.
Hey!
Hashtag PCMC pod.
Pod. The pod. The pod. The pod. Yeah, I okay. So.
Wow.
I thought it was great.
Yes.
But I wasn't emotionally like, oh my God, Tony Stark.
Well, I mean, we knew he was going to die, right?
Yeah.
He had to have died. Yeah. I mean,
common sense just tells you this isn't the way they're going with it.
I saw it twice. And I don't know if it's a good movie, but it's certainly, and this is sort of what I said about Infinity War, it's a fun spectacle. It was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
It didn't really feel too long.
No.
Is it a movie? I don't know. Does it make any sense? Not really. The time travel makes no sense.
The plot is so loose.
And they sort of trick your brain because they talk about science fiction movies where the time travel does make sense and says that they don't make sense.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I guess, all right, fuck Back to the Future. But then you think about it, it's like, wait, how... That means everything, if you were to follow it, that means everything that they do in the past creates a different timeline, just multiple universes.
But the way the Chosen One said it to Bruce Banner was once you take the Infinity Stones, which hold...
Wait. Spoiler alert for Endgame. Technically, the spoiler word's supposed to be over. The directors...
They lifted it.
They lifted it because the day they lifted it, the Spider-Man trailer came out
that
had Tony dead in it.
Yeah.
But just in case, you know, people on the internet are a little bitchy. Right. Spoiler alert.
So, once the Chosen One told Bruce that...
Don't you just want to touch your head?
Yeah,
it was like great. A little peanut.
It was great. It looks like yours. Perfectly round.
Yeah.
So, once... She said that once you take one of the Infinity Stones, it rips the timeline and creates another one. You have to put it back.
Right.
So then they were like, well, I guess we'll just put them back. And I'm like, what?
But that doesn't make sense.
Because they even made a joke where Scott Lang is talking about, wait a minute, I know time travel. How do you know time travel?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. So he goes, you're judging it off Back to the Future, which I think is more right when it comes to time travel than this convoluted plot.
Sure. All right. Let's say bringing the stones back does fix it somehow. Mm-hmm. What Cap does at the end, going back in time to live with Agent Carter, how does that make any sense? By the way, do you think at any point when he was married to her, he said, by the way, in a different timeline, I did kiss your granddaughter, who might be my granddaughter now.
Well, that's creepy.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't
but be, it's his, not, it wouldn't be it his granddaughter be his because granddaughter. It's a different timeline.
Well, it's also a different person. How would his sperm make a woman years later?
No, it wouldn't. It would
That's
be a
saying.
Different timeline.
It was Agent Carter's other husband.
So that means that granddaughter will never exist.
Never exist.
At least in this timeline.
In this timeline. But they're also opening up that there's multiple universes.
I've got a headache.
So with that Thanos snap, I think they're going to explain that there's different universes
now.
Well,
that's what they say in the Spider-Man trailer.
They're leaking in. So you don't know whether or not Mysterio is a good guy or a bad guy from another universe.
So that's weird, though, because that means when he goes back to live with Agent Carter, like,
he returned
it's only one version of her.
Yes, but he returned the Infinity Stone.
How do you give back the Soul Stone? Here you go.
See, thank you.
Can I get back fucking...
No.
What can, Natasha?
It's done.
That's the biggest... failure of the movie, how they treated her. She should not have died. Clint should have died.
I think she had a lot of
PTSD. He was right.
Well, I think she had a lot of survivor's guilt.
Sure.
And I think there was a lot of post-traumatic stress.
But the same with Tony, same with Kat.
But if you look at what they did, it was this grand sacrifice.
Yeah. It was finally her time to shine. And, you know, first of all, let me say, I like what they did with Clint in this movie. Hawkeye.
They gave him a purpose.
They made him into his character Ronin, which is what he becomes when he turns bad. But he even says, like, it should be me. I've done horrible things. It just feels like she doesn't... I don't know. To me, it's totally frigid.
Well,
it's totally like, oh, the woman gets to fucking die, and it's bullshit.
No, but I think she needed to make the bigger sacrifice because maybe she was more pure of heart, where he realizes...
No, it doesn't. It's just a soul for a soul.
That's it?
You don't have to be pure of heart.
See, here I am thinking like...
She's going out of her way to save him, and it's like...
Well, I think she went out of her way to save him because she knew he's not this guy.
Right.
And that we will get your family back, and you got more to lose than I do.
I guess. All right, but you know what? Fine. Let's take it away from the choice between Hawkeye and Black Widow. Just the writers could have not put her on that part of the mission. She could have been Nebula.
Yeah, but she knew when they decided who's going where.
Yeah.
She knew what she had to do.
I'm saying the writers of the movie, yes, they decided at some point who's going to live, who's going to die, and she dies pretty early on.
Yes, but it's a very impactful way to go.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
It was impactful when Gamora died.
That was unexpected.
But it was very impactful.
Because Thanos just threw her over. And you knew he felt that he didn't want to do it, and he had to sacrifice the thing that
he
loved.
I felt more in that
else.
Scene than I felt. Because you knew that was what was going to happen. So, like, you knew it had to be a repeat of that beat. And he was almost done. He was almost over the fucking cliff, and then she fucking saves him. And it's like, she deserves to see this thing through. She clearly was taking the leadership role in the 5 years after. And by the way, how fucked up is the timeline now? Oh, so it's
2023.
So Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man's in 2023?
Yeah.
Is he going to have some random friends that are 5 years older? Or did they all just fucking get unsnapped?
I think they all got unsnapped.
Because at the end, he hugs Ned, which to me, I was like, this is the story I care about.
Yeah.
And I guess Ned also wasn't...
Yep.
Was also snapped.
Yeah, Aunt May was probably snapped.
All right, it's all very fucking...
Zendaya was probably snapped.
You know, the comedian Jackie Cation, who does the podcast Dork Forest, she made a really good point. She said, you know, our population has doubled since the 70s. So they make it in the movie like half of life dying would be like this insane dystopia. Would really, like, in the 1970s, that's the amount of people we had. Yeah. Like, there were Mets then. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there were the New York Mets back then.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, no
By the
Mets.
Way, how do you feel about Disney and the Russo brothers wanting us to fucking applaud them for having one gay character finally in a fucking Marvel movie?
Yeah, I mean,
we're supposed to be like, wow, you guys are trailblazers.
Progression.
Because a guy happens to be gay.
He references going on a date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cap doesn't, scoff at him with his conservative ways.
Yeah. And his 1942 mentality.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, Steve Rogers is still very much stuck in that.
Well, remember the first Avengers movie? Black Widow's like, Thor's a god. He's like, there's only one god, ma'am.
Yeah. This is America's ass.
Yeah. I even liked him. I don't think I've ever liked him as much as I like him in Endgame.
Oh, I thought he was great.
I like when he's fighting the younger him, and the younger him's like, I do this all day, and he's like, I know you can. He knows, like, young him was, like, a little annoying.
I get it. Actually, no. Like, to me, who stole the show was Chris Hemsworth.
Ah, thick Thor. I fucking love him.
I mean, you want to talk about somebody who... pretty much changed the entire structure of a character.
Yeah.
If you look at the first two Thors.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he was so bad. Not him, but like the character was so droll.
Yeah.
And then
make him silly is a good idea.
And then you come in with Ragnarok and it gives him this whole other dimension.
Right.
He's no longer
in space.
He's no longer a brooding oaf.
Yeah.
He's this fucking insecure, fat drunk.
Yeah.
Who has abandonment issues.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. Because he was badass.
Yeah.
Up until he cuts the head of Thanos. And then after that, there was this immense guilt.
Right. And that's why he started drinking. Hanging out with Korg.
Did you not pop when he held his hand out after he was talking to his mother?
Oh, that was great.
And
he's like, wait.
Let me see. All right, I got it.
It takes a minute sometimes.
Yeah.
That was great. And then you heard, come and get your love. As a reference to the beginning of Guardians.
Yeah. And they were talking.
It was like Back to the Future 2, where it was like, hey, you want to, let's go back and. It was a big victory lap. It was like, let's go back and.
I think that's what they
relive
did.
All the fun
I
we had.
I think they've seen this. I think they go, you know what? Let's just do this.
Yeah.
Let's watch Back to the Future 2.
Take notes.
The nice bleed over scenes.
Yeah.
We'll take it from there. Time hopping with Pym particles.
Yeah.
We'll take a little bit from Jumper. From here.
Yeah.
So I a lot of it worked, a lot of it you questioned.
Yeah.
The whole dog and pony show of the ending fight.
Yeah.
I thought was a bit much. Every scene that Robert Downey Jr. in was magic. I mean,
he's great with the little girl.
I love
you
3000.
She's very adorable, the little girl.
Do you know that I Love You 3000 thing is a real thing that he did with his kids?
Really?
Yeah. And he just thought it was fitting to tell, like, the universe that he, like, the Marvel universe that he loved them like that.
Yeah.
Because he felt that it was too impersonal.
Yeah,
just saying, like, I love you and I love you so much. And, you
know, it's a big, it's really good.
You know, because then we walked out with that scene with Pepper. Yeah. She loved me times 3,000. Yeah. What do you, you know, what
you
do
in you the late, you in the late 600s.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I did it. What is the it we're talking about? Figured out time travel. Tony Stark does it in an evening.
Yeah. You know, it really does go to...
But I like his survivor's guilt. Like, he says no to them, but then when he's washing up, he looks at the picture of Peter Parker.
It kills him.
Yeah.
Kills him that kid's not there.
Right. When he first sees Cap, he says, I lost the kid. Like, that's the big...
That scene was so good because he was...
Oh, when he flips out?
He was thin. He was in an IV.
He's gaunt looking.
He looked like the old RDJ of years past doing coke.
Yeah. And if you're like me, where you felt like in Civil War, Tony was the one who was right.
Yeah.
Because he was. Yes, he was. It was very vindicating when he's like, you know,
I needed you then.
Yeah.
And you turned your back on me.
Well, you know, where we're the Avengers, not the pre-Avengers. I got nothing for you, Cap. Nothing. And also, one of the funniest lines when Rocket says something, he goes, until just now, I thought you were a Build-A-Bear. Yeah.
But did you notice the small little subtlety that after he said he loses the kid and then does that big speech, Rhodey's right next to him and he leans on Rhodey and puts his like body on Rhodey. And like you could just like it's I think it's a nice callback to the first Iron Man. Like I'll always have your back.
Yes.
Like in an unspoken way, like he knows like Rhodey's the one he can trust.
Yes.
Like and he leans on Rhodey and then he realizes like I gotta flip the fuck out now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
he rips the IV out of his
arm. That's when he rips the IV out and then he falls again and then Rhodey catches him and brings him down.
Yeah. Yeah. The way they dealt with him and Cap's relationship I thought was good. The way that it wasn't just like, oh, all of a sudden we're forgive each other. Like it just sort of builds up.
Well, I think enough time passed to where they were trying to figure out this time travel plot and they knew they couldn't do it without him.
The real moment is when they decide they have to go back for the Pym particles and he goes, do you trust me? And he's like, yeah. Did you feel, maybe this is just my personal feelings, they were a little too hard on Ant-Man? I like Ant-Man. Everyone's so mean to him. He gets bullied left and right.
If it wasn't for Ant-Man.
He's the
reason why the whole thing.
If it weren't for that rat that stepped on the control pad that brought him back from the quantum realm.
Yeah, Paul Rudd is really good. Like, you know he's 50.
He's an ageless god. A moment that really made me emotional that I didn't even expect to happen was when he sees his daughter and his daughter's 5 years older.
Yeah.
Because in the Ant-Man movies, which I think are both good, the daughter's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And like she's 5 years older now and she cries. I was like, I found myself emotional like because I wasn't expecting that.
Because he missed everything.
Yeah. And she's his whole motivation.
To do good.
To do good.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's this woman now.
Yeah. Which she'll probably be, because they're going to do another Ant-Man, obviously.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then she'll probably wear a suit as well.
Yeah. I even liked his, you know, when he's talking, when he goes to the Avengers compound, and he's like, I was in the quantum realm, and on the outside was, I forget Wasp's real name.
Jane Pym.
Yeah, he's like, Jane, and she's my, and he can't say, like, he just says like I think he says she was supposed to put me out, but he wants to say she's my girlfriend, she's a person I love, she's the Wasp. So like you could see his
it was hard for him to say she's gone.
Yeah
to even put it in the words,
which is why I think the moment between him and Tony is big, because Tony's making fun of him for thinking that Back to the Future is a way that you can base your logic
on time travel.
But he says like you were lucky, and he was lucky.
Yeah.
Right. Pepper didn't disappear.
No.
But fucking most of the people that
love somebody,
yeah. So, you know.
But that's why I think that scene with the Russo brother and Cap, it works so well because, you know, they made reference to, well, who cried first? I cried.
Yeah.
And then by dessert, he was crying.
Yeah.
And we cried together because we realized everybody that we lost.
Yeah.
And it was like this heaviness and this great loss.
Yeah.
You know? And then you see the scene where it cuts to Scott pulling the wagon, talking to the kid, being like, hey, kid. And the kid just looks at him and just shakes his head and doesn't, I'm not going to say anything, and just rides his bike off down the
block. Meanwhile, was that kid five when the snap happened?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
That's why I like at the end when Thanos is like, I've rethought it. I'm going to just get rid of everybody and start from scratch. Because if I take away half the people, you'll all remember the half that's gone. So it's almost like a little bit of an escalation right before the big fight anyway.
Did you ever think, though, in his theory wasn't that...
Well, it's funny. Cap says, like, oh, I saw some beautiful whales and whatever. It probably would be great for
the environment.
We do have too many people.
We do.
We do have food shortages. We do have more people makes more waste. And, you know, Thanos didn't say, I'm only going to get rid of the poor people. He said, it's random. Pretty good.
Pretty cut and dry.
Pretty cut and dry. Team Thanos.
It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad at it.
What did you think about the beginning when they go to Thanos and, like, he looks all fucked up? It's not what you're expecting. He looks like an old hermit.
I wanted to see more. Like, did he regret what he did?
No, he definitely didn't. He felt like, this is my retirement because I did it. I won.
Did he feel like... Well, why he looked like a fucking old shoe was because he used the snap the other time to destroy the stones. And that's what did him in.
Right.
And he's probably, you know, and at that point, the gauntlet is pretty much melted onto his hand. And, you know, he looked tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so there was nothing else for him to do. Then when they go back in time, it's, oh shit.
When
it's Thanos.
I think they were very good at subverting your expectations. Because you think it's going to be, like, after. And, like, because there's so much, like, that's, like, right after.
Yes.
But then they cut off his fucking head, which I thought was a great moment.
Yep.
The theater that I was in popped. Everyone was, like, loved it.
And then he fucking sees it.
And then it goes 5 years later. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, I was not expecting this.
It took a turn. Because you thought, like, wait a minute, what happens now?
Yeah.
And then you see... He has that Nebula's fucking whatever doesn't starts flipping out.
Right, right.
And he's watching all this.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, interesting that the Thanos they kill in the end is the Thanos from before.
It was the snap.
Right.
Yeah.
Because fucking Scarlet Witch is like, you took everything from me. Yep. Like, I don't know who you are.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, we got to let it play out. What is this? My destiny.
Yeah.
He was like, he had these fucking nuggets of truth.
You know, even through
he's
all
a walking
the CGI.
Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, of course. Wise but inherently violent. The
eating elk meat.
The I gotta say, even through the CGI and everything, Brolin is really good. You get a sense of him as an actor.
He has a magnetism.
He's great.
And anything he's in, I will instantly watch.
He's really good. His dad was Marcus Welby.
Marcus Welby. He was good.
He's very funny too, like on shows and stuff.
He has a weird obsession with Momoa as well.
Sure, well, who doesn't?
You know, he thinks he's amazingly handsome, but yet ruggedly strong in a way that he says he can never be.
How old is Brolin?
52.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
He had a tough life, dude.
Did he really?
Oh, he was bad in the drinking and drugs.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, and then he got clean and sober. And
yeah.
Married his wife, and he was a young dad, too.
Mm.
There was a lot. Yeah, man, he was a wild boy. Wild boy.
So was Downey.
Downey was...
Whew. Downey, people remember, like, Iron Man was his huge comeback. Downey was, like, young and hot. He won an Oscar for playing Charlie Chaplin.
He was nominated for an Oscar for Chaplin. He should have won the Oscar for Chaplin.
And then it was, like, a fucking downhill fucking...
Yeah.
Waking up in other people's houses and getting arrested, going to jail.
Doing weird jazz fusion cut songs.
His first day in jail, he got his face mutilated. They were like, hey, pretty boy, actor. And they fucking used a shiv and cut his face up.
Yeah.
Which he left while he was in jail to look tough. And then when he got out, he did plastic surgery.
Yeah. He had to audition for the role.
Yeah.
Favreau wanted him.
And they were like, we don't know if this guy's... Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Favreau, how do you think he feels after all this?
He's the reason why it's so successful.
But what did he directed Iron Man 1 and 2.
Yep. And then he
that
had...
That was it.
And
then he plays
And then he plays Happy Hogan, but he also has executive producer credits throughout all the films that
he's in. So he's banking. He's banking. He's good.
Yeah.
And he seems to be a big part of the Spider-Man movies too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll see it. Executive producer Jon Favreau.
Good for him.
It was on Avengers Endgame.
Good for him. Hey, you know what made me a little bit emotional? Speaking of Jon Favreau, the trailer for Lion King. I love that movie. And he directed that.
Before we get back onto that, do you understand the significance of the cheeseburgers?
Yes, I do.
You want to explain that for the fan?
Sure. I don't know if you and me agree on the significance.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how I read the significance. In Iron Man 1, they wanted to do product placement. So they fucking wrote into the script that he wanted cheeseburgers. And what is he called? He's been in a cave for fucking a year. Where does he go? Does he get a real cheeseburger? No, he goes to fucking Burger King, because Burger King at the time was selling Iron Man fucking cups. And now, after Tony's dead, the little girl goes, "I want cheeseburgers." And fucking Happy goes, "Oh, you know, your dad did fucking product placement cheeseburgers." Speaking of product placement, how about the fucking Audi that he's driving and fucking speeds up? Or the fucking Gillette razor that fucking Cap is shaving his beard off with. How about that? Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Oh, okay, what are you going
to
say?
No, because the moment he knew that he wanted to get clean and sober, he was eating at a Burger King. And that's why Burger King is actually in it.
I'm going to go on record right now. I do not believe that story. I believe he said it. I believe you heard it. I do not believe it.
Just made that up?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You don't think, like, you've never had that saying where you're like, "Oh, shit, I got to really wake the fuck up and do this thing."
It's right? Very serendipitous.
Extremely serendipitous. So it's like, well, you know what?
I think if I were eating a Burger King burger, I feel like I'm at the bottom of my life.
He was at the bottom of his life, but then it was at this moment.
Why does he go?
But it was at that moment he was like, "Damn, like I gotta figure this out. I gotta change who I am. I can't keep on going down this road."
Yeah.
So what does he do? Eats the burger. He's eating and he's probably thinking, because he's probably fresh out of the Bing. So he's like,
out of the slammer.
Yeah. So he's probably like, "Damn, all right, I gotta figure this out."
What was his deal? What was his drug of choice? Was he a coke guy?
I think it was the cocaine. I think it was crack too for a little while.
Crack, wow.
Yeah, he was bad. He was into some naughty shit.
Well, crack is what happens when you can't afford the coke anymore.
No. You start freebasing is the poor man's coke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was about, bro. He was into the
white lines,
pure as the winter snow.
That song's great because you can't tell if it's anti coke or pro coke.
I think it's very pro coke.
But then they say things in it that are like, or negative, like about it ruining your life or whatever. It's a weird song.
It is.
It's a weird song.
But it makes cocaine sound fun, and then it makes cocaine sound bad.
Yeah,
it's like that with every fucking Motley Crue song. Like, if 80s hair metal was an aesthetic, it would be cocaine.
yeah.
That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, no. And he also liked the glug glug.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
He was into everything.
Sure he did.
He was into everything. And he cleaned his shit up, though. Cleaned his shit up.
Look at him now.
Billion dollar franchise.
I like that the movie paid him homage. Like, "You're the guy who did it. You're the guy." Like, I love the end credits where they show every Avenger and everybody who's ever fucking been in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, even like fucking cut footage of Natalie Portman. Let's throw that in there.
Yep.
But they made a big deal of him. Like, he was the end part. He was the last one that they showed.
Yeah.
And the audience cheered for him because he's fucking Iron Man. He started it. Like, in 2009, like, it was like, here's an actor who is sort of a has-been. Here's a character that's not a named character. Iron Man was not 18 at all. And here's the first movie from Marvel's now making their own movies.
It was Iron Man.
What the fuck does this even mean? Disney didn't even own them yet.
Here's our version of Batman.
Right. But it fucking worked.
Because I think there was an authenticity to Robert Downey Jr. and his braggadocious appeal as Tony Stark.
Also,
there was nobody else that could play that role.
Well, I think there's the demon in the bottle storyline, which they never really did. They never really did that.
You really didn't need it, though. We knew he was an egomaniac.
That's why we thought I think that's what we thought he was hired for, didn't we?
Yes. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, we're going to get the demon in a bottle. And then we didn't get it. And we got, you know, we got the poisoning.
Yeah, from, which was sort of a version of it.
From the palladium. But we didn't really need the demon in the bottle thing because there was so much more to this character than just the one story that made Iron Man Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know? The movies changed the way we view him in the comic books now.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
So without the movies, he'd still be a B player.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How do you feel about at the end in his at his funeral, his little Viking funeral, they put on the boat
proof that Tony Stark has a heart? Yeah. It's a nice callback to first.
It's a very nice callback.
Yeah.
And I like that you see the sort of procession of every fucking Marvel character.
Yeah.
Even the kid from Iron Man 3, which I didn't fucking recognize. I was like, who's this fucking teenager here?
That was Tony's friend who had the potato gun.
I kept thinking, if you haven't seen the other 21 movies, how confusing this movie would be.
Yeah,
it's like, is that Michelle Pfeiffer? What the fuck is she doing?
Catwoman?
Yeah. I saw it with my dad the second time, and he was like, because he hasn't seen them all. He was like, who the fuck is that? I was like, that's Wasp.
Yeah.
And he was like, why is, how come fucking Gwyneth Paltrow is in a suit? I was like, Iron Man 3. We don't talk about it.
We don't talk about that Shane Black debacle.
Boy, that was. It's funny that
great dialogue, though.
Iron Man is like the king of this all, yet Iron Man 2 and 3, I think, are not good.
No, they're not.
The best Iron Man movies are Iron Man 1, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Avengers.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Emilio, for the audience, could you repeat the thing you just said to me during the break?
I now concentrate on the entire forest and not necessarily the one tree anymore.
This is PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. That little nugget of wisdom came from Mr. Emilio J. Sparks, at Emilio Sparks on Twitter and Instagram.
Zen with me.
What about you got Snapchat?
Yeah, I still do it. I don't really do it anymore, but I once in a while, if I'm bored, you'll just see the same snap over and over again.
Okay.
It's just me taking a picture of my unopened Lego Voltron. It's the same snap. And I always say the same thing. Am I ever going to open
I'm going to sneak into your house one night and build it and just leave like an elf cobbles your shoes. You're just going to wake up and at the foot of your bed is going to be a built Voltron.
I will be so mad at you. You have no idea.
What if fucking David Copperfield, like the box is still sealed? Like, no, how to get it out of the box?
Because I think I'm honestly saving it for something. I don't want to say.
I don't know what you're saving it for.
I don't want to say it on air. I will tell you when we're done today what I'm saving it for.
Okay.
But I know the person that I want to build this with.
Sure.
And I just need to pitch it.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to Obsessions.
That is an obsession.
Yeah. Do you have an obsession?
I talked about it a little bit in the first hour.
Was 9 hours ago.
It was 9 hours ago. It is the Goldbergs.
Yes.
As I said before, I think it is probably the best comedy written for television right now.
Yeah, I love it.
I think the dialogue is so good. I think it really gets 80s pop culture references. Yeah. Like, if there's a science to it, where if you've ever noticed, a lot of people just abuse it, and it's like a buzzword, like 80s nostalgia, you know? Like, Stranger Things does a really good job of bringing in nostalgia like that, and this show does that.
Yeah.
You know? And I think this show takes it a little bit further.
Because there's, like, theme episodes.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, New Kids on the Block, Tiffany.
Ghostbusters. Robert Englund came back as Freddy for the Freddy episode.
I mean, come on, man. Like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, an entire episode dedicated to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean, The Cold War.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so many things that just work. And most of this is really based on Adam F. Goldberg's life.
Yeah.
And it's pretty impressive that this kid had the wherewithal or just the foresight to record a lot of shit and just hold on to it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really amazing thing. Like, do you remember when, I don't know if you, like,
Yeah.
You filmed a lot of little shit, movies right? like that. I definitely did that shit as a kid. Definitely. Once my dad was finally like, my dad was always like, no, you can't use the fuck. Cause we had the old VHS camcorder, which was like a lot. It was like $600 on me. So when I was a kid, I'd be like, can I use it? And he'd be like, no. Like I finally like beat him down to my mother's like, just let him use it.
Yeah.
And then I was fucking off to the races. I was making movies and I was doing just like him. Like I was basically just doing the movies that I knew. Like me and my brothers made a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
We're fucking, my brother put on a Michael Myers mask.
We would do the same thing. Like, it was different, though. We couldn't afford that shit. On my father's salary back then, we weren't doing that. Dad, can we get a video camera? What? It would be more
so
like.
So you're going to high road me right now?
No. But what I'm going to say is that we had this couple. They were 25 years old, moved next door to us. And he was like a big kid. And he had all the cool
stuff.
And he was like. He saw his backyard wrestling one day, bought a new camera, threw us his old one. I was like, here you go, guys.
Okay.
And it was the neighborhood camera. And we all would take turns filming wrestling. I remember my next door neighbor wanted to shoot a movie. All right, cool. Everybody had a role. And then my other next door neighbor wanted to do a, you know, we would film tournaments. Random shit. Like, you know, throwing stuff into this. Or dirt bikes or basketball or whatever. Like, so everybody had a chance to, you know, get the use that. Yeah, and it was great. And I think I gotta find them. Like where the old tapes
Disney
are.
Owns them now.
Disney owns them.
Do you get excited at the end of the episode when you see whatever connection to his real life there
JTP.
Is? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Because it's spot on.
And I love when like I'm watching it and I'll see like a bad extra and I'm like, I bet that's the real guy.
Definitely.
That guy definitely is not a real actor.
Yeah.
I love that.
One of my favorite things was they had a photo of Adam F. Goldberg in like these knee-high stockings and a white dress coat with an emblem, like a logo on it. And it's matched to the T.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everything.
Yeah, they match things crazily. Yeah.
Everything fits.
Yeah.
Like to a T. And I'm like, that. The props designers and the costume designers, A+ work.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because without them, I don't see this working. And that's a creative guy. And that cast is just magic. It's lightning in a bottle.
How do you know the story behind the joke of the other Adam Goldberg? Like, you know, he says, like, there's another Adam Goldberg in my school. Yeah. Like, they keep referencing that. Yeah. The actor Adam Goldberg, who was in, like, what was he in? He was in shit in the 90s. He, like, got mad at Adam Goldberg from the Goldbergs on Twitter. And it was like, you know, you should change your name. I was around first, blah, blah, blah. So, in a retaliation to that, they came up with the character of the other Adam Goldberg in his school. And someone would be like, didn't you? Like, no, it was the other Adam Goldberg.
And that's why he started going by Adam F.
Yeah.
Goldberg.
Yeah. How do you, I like the supporting cast too. I really like David Koechner as what's her name's dad? Katra. What the fuck's her name?
Oh, fucking Lainey Lewis.
Yeah, she's great. I love Tobolowsky as
the principal.
Principal. And then you got Tim Meadows as the guidance counselor. A lot of great people. Or the two bullies, the one with the fucking rush shirt and the...
It's always a rush shirt and a ponytail.
And then he's with the girl who's like, picks on people, the savage girl.
Yeah. Savage girl.
We're laughing at you.
Anthony Balsamo. The greatest athlete at the school.
Yes. It's so good. They really created a little world there.
It's perfect. And it's so much so that they have the spinoff, and the spinoff is doing really well.
Really? I haven't gotten into it.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to finish... The Goldbergs first, and then I'm going to move on to Modern Family as my next thing to take on.
Modern Family is good for the first 3-4 years. It becomes diminishing returns for that show. It's still on.
Yeah.
Somehow, it's still on.
It is?
Yeah, it's...
So I've never watched...
Since season 71.
See, I've never watched the Goldbergs live, and I've never seen Modern Family live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of watching it on the actual channel that it's supposed to be on the night that it premieres.
Sure.
It's always been on either USA Network or TV Land.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's, since everything's on Hulu, I'm like, shh, just go watch it on here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's it. And I think it works better because it all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, wow. All right. Because on like TV Land, it's always the same episodes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can't think of anything else. So I'm like, shit, let me go back and watch it again. There's a lot of episodes that I haven't seen. There's a bulk of them that I have seen. But they've only been playing like the first three seasons. So everything else to me, I can't wait to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
it's great. It hasn't gone downhill yet.
No.
It's been great.
No. Barry Goldberg is the best
character.
They
did have a character replacement, which is, I don't know if you're up to this yet. What girlfriend does Adam have where you are right now?
He has Dana.
The blonde girl.
Well, the redhead.
The redhead. Later on, he has a girlfriend that's played by Rowan Blanchard.
Yeah.
But then she became a huge fucking Twitter influencer, and she was recast with some other girl.
Okay.
Like, she was like, I'm too big for this show now.
Okay.
I guess.
That's
his second girlfriend.
Yeah, but was that Girl Meets World? Did she star in Girl Meets World?
Yeah, she was Girl Meets World.
And she's not on the show no more?
No.
Damn. I love
she's
them
on for like a couple seasons.
Because I was watching that on TV mm-hmm. Land.
Yeah.
And I thought they made a better couple than Adam and Dana.
Yeah. I like them together.
Now I'm saying that they make a change.
But she's
because I think she's a great
for
actress.
A couple years. Yeah.
I think she's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, she's so socially aware in that role. I'm like, damn, this kid is good.
Yeah.
And I really sit there and I watch these like young kids act, and I'm like the character, like the Dana character, even though it's like one dimensional, it's still like there's a lot to her. And then Adam is like, all right, he's a kid.
But
whoa, wait a minute. Like, all these kids really act. Muscles Mercy? Like, yo, like all these kids, man. Like,
they're great.
Oh, man. I mean.
It's an awesome show. It's an awesome show.
Yeah. Jeff Garland to me is just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Chair. And after that, I tweeted, I want a recliner.
I have a recliner.
I know you do.
It's beautiful. I sit on and play video games.
I know you do. The last time we recorded together, I was sitting on Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
And it was so comfy.
Yeah, baby. I fought a lot on that chair.
I felt the warmth.
All right. My obsession is a Hulu show called Pen 15. Now, if you go, what the fuck does that mean? Remember when you were a little kid, you would write Pen 15. It was like penis, but it wasn't penis.
No, I never did that.
Well, they never explained why they named that the show. Probably because of what the show's about. The show is about these 13-year-olds that it's their first year in junior high. So they're like basically little kids becoming teenagers. But the two main stars are women in their 30s playing 13-year-olds. And it's ridiculous. They're obviously grown women. But the real funny joke is everyone else in the cast are actual little kids.
Okay.
Like, the producers are like, well, should we age everyone up? Should we get older people so it doesn't look weird? Like, no. We want it to be as genuine. So everyone, you see them with all these like 12-year-olds and they're like 30. But the way they act
I'm looking at it now.
The way they act is perfect. The two lead characters are Maya and Anna. And Maya and Anna are the creators of the show. Uh-huh. And it's produced by Lonely Island. And, you know, there's an episode where they're playing with dolls. And their friends make fun of them for playing with dolls. So they decide they're too old for this now. So they go out and they try cigarettes and they get into trouble. It's hilarious. Yeah, the scene where they shave their legs for the first time because they're going to the dance. Their legs are like insanely hairy. The one Maya, who's like more the star of it, she has the bowl cut haircut.
Yeah.
Because she cuts her own hair. And her mother is like, this is terrible. Let me cut it for you. And it's funny, like, it reminded me a little bit of the movie Eighth Grade. Although Eighth Grade is much more serious. But just like capturing that feeling of being 13 and having no way to find, just being so vulnerable. And even when you're hurt, your feelings are hurt. You're like, I'm cool. But like, you can't, you have no ability to really hide the fact that you're heartbroken.
Yeah.
It's a lot of shit like that. You feel for these girls because they're just little nerdy girls and they want to be popular and they have each other. And it's very sweet. It's very, very, very funny.
That's cute.
In the pilot, Maya, who's Asian, all the kids in school are calling her Eugis, ugliest girl in school.
Okay.
So they're like, after school, you got to go and like, her older brother's like, you got to insult him. You got to say he's got a, you know, I heard he's uncircumcised. So like, you got to say he's got a dick like an aardvark and shit like that. So like, the boy's like making fun of her and like they're all like hanging around a tree like watching them like yell at each other and she just flips out on him and she's like, you have an aardvark dick and that's why your dad died.
What the fuck?
And then you see little boy cry.
And everyone's like, what the fuck? Why'd you go there? Oh, it's so funny. I gotta see this now. It's so funny. There's only, I think, 10 episodes. It's a Hulu show. It's really funny. It's brilliantly put together. It'll make you be like, yeah, I remember that.
I gotta binge.
Because I remember moments like that. I remember like playing with my like Power Rangers and being like, oh, am I supposed to be going out drinking? Like, I remember, like,
those. What age? 15?
Like, 13.
I did not have those thoughts until, like, oh, God, senior year of high school.
I drank for the first time, I think, when I was 15. A cousin of mine gave me a beer. And I was like, what's this, a beer? And I drank it.
Wow, I was such a late bloomer.
I don't know. I think I was just kind of a bad kid. I wasn't a bad kid, but I was insecure, like the characters in the show, and I wanted to, I don't know. I always thought, like, the cool kids or, you know, you're always trying to find yourself, and yeah, you have no ability to see that the cool kids probably aren't that cool.
So dude, like, I didn't smoke a cigarette until I was 25.
Well.
And then I tried it once. I was like, ooh, I don't like this.
Yeah, you didn't try hard enough.
Yeah. I failed at it.
I'm still a smoker in my soul because sometimes in my dreams I smoke cigarettes, which means in my subconscious I still am a smoker.
Ah, okay.
Like any moment I think it could come back.
No, I don't think it could.
I think enough stress.
No, you'll just binge eat.
I don't know. I think maybe I'm a bad day away from smoking. It is gross. It's very gross. And if you are with somebody who smokes and you don't smoke, you could taste it on them.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. But Pen 15... check it out on Hulu. It's really good.
I'm gonna do it. You got me. I'm with it. I just want to see these two middle-aged women play teenagers.
It's really funny.
I gotta say it now.
It's very funny.
You know, the best programs are honestly coming from streaming sites.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Hulu's really coming for next now, man.
Yeah. This might be, I think, the best Hulu show. I've liked some other Hulu shows in the past. I liked Difficult People. But I think, unless I'm forgetting one, I think this is the best Hulu show so far.
Why can't we option this?
What do you mean?
Like, we can't, like, option us
to Hulu
and have let them do Pop Culture Man Children?
Us play 13-year-olds?
No, I think we do a situation comedy based around the podcast.
A sitcom, I don't know, like that Zach Braff show? That didn't go well for him.
No, well, I don't think it has to, the onus has to be on the actual startup of the podcast, but I think it's about the lives of like two grown men living at home, still clinging on to toys and music and other, you know, childhood paraphernalias, and you know, you have these two guys,
I know what you're talking about,
stuck in their ways. There's a plushy chair, and
I don't know what you're talking
there's
about.
There's a podcast, and there's witty banter back and forth.
Do you know that I'm a professor?
I know you are. I know you are.
I'm a man of letters.
You are.
This has been Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno.
I'm Emilio Spark.
That's the Howard Hessman of podcasts.
Dr. John and Fever.
All right. Go bye-bye.